Every Jewish priest performs his services every day and offers the same sacrifices many times. But these sacrifices can never take away sin. Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sin, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God. There he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. And the Holy Spirit also gives us his witness. First, he says, "This is a covenant that I will make with them in the days to come, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he said, "I will not remember their sins and evil deeds any longer." So when they have been forgiven, an offering to take away sins is no longer needed. We have then, my brothers, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way, a living way through the curtain, that is, through his body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near.
There is a part of this reading that I invite you to ignore, but we'll look at it and then ignore it. In the day when this letter was written, the church gathered under different circumstances than we gather. If you were to come to worship in the day that the Hebrews letter was written, and the wrong people saw you coming, your death would be imminent. To worship God meant that you would gather with people who were under suspicion and were spied upon, and your presence with such would necessitate your death at the hands of the Roman state. Neglecting worship when you may freely worship is a far graver crime against God than neglecting worship when you would get killed for it. Set that aside, because there's something even more important going on in this passage that has meaning for the Hebrew folks to whom our writer is writing, and has meaning for you and I, and frankly, meaning for every person who ever has been, is now, or will be alive. The writer goes to the point when he sets where Jesus is now. He refers to that which is familiar to Jewish people when he says about the temple worship and how it was conducted, that the priests would go up each day and they would make a sacrifice, an offering. This was encouraged, this was dictated by the law, so there was no reason why they shouldn't. And once a year, the high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement and offer the sacrifice. They did this day in, day out, year in, year out, and honestly, it never took away any sin. It didn't take away sin because their sacrifices of animals made by human priests are made only in obedience to God. It is God who forgives sins. And so when God sent Jesus to this earth to teach us, to proclaim to us, to heal us, and ultimately to die for us, God was sending his very self to us to take upon God's self our humanity, and having done so and having been crucified, was placed into the tomb, and 3 days ago afterwards was raised again. Something began to happen in the economy of human beings that was not the same that had gone on forever before and would never be the same afterwards. Something had changed. And it would never go back to the way it was. Our sins were taken away. We are forgiven. And not just in the moment that we recognize it, but in every moment we have lived, are living, or will live. What Jesus did on the cross, in the tomb, in his resurrected form, has changed the status quo in our favor and forever. 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he ascended into heaven, and as we say in the creed, sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge heaven and earth. The writer of Hebrews has correctly placed Jesus where he is and will be forever until he comes again. In the King James and the NIV or the NRSV, then the writer goes on, he says, therefore, because of this, that means this, therefore. What is that this he means? He means three things. That you may approach the throne of grace with confidence. That you may come near to the holy God of all things, because you will be recognized by the one who sits at the right hand of God the Father. You will be recognized because Jesus is intimately aware of your limitations, your sins, your capacity for harm, and your wounds that you have been harmed by from others. And Jesus is aware for all time your need of him and is delighted to welcome you. so you may approach with confidence. Not only that, it reminds the Hebrew people, and therefore us, that we can hold on to the belief, our faith, with confidence. That we can trust this God. We can trust Jesus with our lives. In part because without Jesus, we don't have this life, and we certainly don't have the life to come. But moreover, we can trust Jesus because Jesus has acted for us in love. He has not snapped his fingers and made it so. He has not decreed from on high. He has come to be with, in the midst of, the pain and sorrow that each of us know exist in our lives, in the life of people around us, in our world. And so, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. We can hold the faith we have in Christ. And finally, we are called to love. Now, this love is not just a genuine feeling of goodwill toward others. It's not just some sort of emotional high. It is deeper than that and rooted completely in the kind of love that has been shown to us. Therefore, we are to love one another and encourage each other. Build each other up. Support each other. Why? Well, the basest reason of all is that God told us to, but the motivation, what gives it life, is the fact that we know that God has loved us and given us that which we could not ever have otherwise. And we know, just as our parents and the church that came before us and the ministers who came before us and the aunts and uncles and friends and the important people of our lives taught us the faith, that we too are called to teach the faith, to share the faith, so that others might know this hope, this faith, and this love. And in so many words, that's what this passage is about. In 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us that faith and hope and love are the virtues that stand strong. But our faith one day will give away to sure and certain knowledge. And our hope one day will give away to the glorified Christ who comes for us. And so we will hope no longer, but we will experience. We will need not have faith because we will know. But that which is left over, love, endures forever. Friends, very simply, in this place, every time you consider this Jesus who sits at the right hand of God the Father, and every time you approach with confidence, not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done, and every time you remember the faith and choose to believe it rather than the lies of this world, and every time you take the trouble to overcome your emotions and your disinclination to love another, to encourage them, and go ahead and share a kind word, or go ahead and not say something that might bring somebody down, or go ahead and offer a helping hand, even if it means you'll be 15 minutes late for an appointment, then somehow what's going on in heaven begins to go on here. We cannot rest comfortable in the idea that when we die, we are going to go to heaven if we are not also willing to live with the idea that when we live, we're going to let heaven come to us and live in us. There is no place in Scripture that says that we are allowed, once we have come to know Christ, to just go about our business like nothing has happened and wait for ourselves to die and go to heaven. Everything in Scripture, including this passage, says because Jesus did this, therefore, hope, hold on to your faith, love one another. It's about making it real here and now and forever. Let us pray.